Welcome to Big Blend Radio's Nature Connection Show with Lisa and Nancy, publishers of Big Blend magazines, and nature photographer Margot Carrera. Hey, everybody, welcome. You know what? We love doing these Nature Connection shows, and today's show really is about connecting with nature. And I think it's right after Earth Day. So this is kind of that second wave of what can we do? We've got Earth Day, but you know, every day should be Earth Day, especially now with climate change happening. And there's just so much going on in the world. What can we do to stay positive? Because sometimes you look outside and you read the news, you hear about whales beaching in areas they shouldn't be, and you just start to freak out and go, oh my gosh, now what? How can I stop this? How can I stop that? I've actually literally driven myself up the wall at times and beaten my head against the wall. So the walls and me don't get along unless they probably put me in a striped little suit and pad the walls. But I'm really excited about today's guest. Cheryl Luton is joining us. She's written the book, Love Earth Now, The Power of Doing One Thing Every Day. And I love this. It's kind of part memoir and also gives you these steps of action. And, you know, Joan Baez is this quote is one of the quotes I live by. Action is the antidote to despair. And I always think that's one of the best quotes because you look around, like I said, the world is kind of crazy, but taking action is good. And if you can do something small every single day, it really does help. And of course, excited today because Margot Carrera is back on the show, a fine art nature photographer. Margot, how are you?
I'm doing great and happy to be with the two of you.
Yeah, it is good to have you. And Nancy says hi to all. Unfortunately, as we record this, she's playing taxes, and that is not fun. And I think she'd rather be sitting outside with the birds and the flowers and the hawks that are circling us right now. But welcome, Cheryl. How are you?
Thank you. I'm well. Glad to be here.
It's good to have you on the show. And, you know, so I have a feeling you relate to the running up the wall, hitting the wall, banging heads on walls, and then going, they need to pad them. When it comes to the environment and wanting to be able to, we want to save everything. You know?
We are kindred spirits indeed. In fact, that's how I started writing is it was my own personal therapy, trying to figure it out. What can we do when it seemed you know, there are no perfect answers. There's no one size fits all solution. And so it's hard to know, as you say, now that the Earth Day moment has passed, what can I do in my daily life that's already busy and jam-packed with all the other things I have to worry about? What can I do to make a difference?
I love that, too, because our families are so busy. You know, we even talk about this in regards to politics, you know, trying to figure out who, what, and where, right? What's true, what's not. We're not going to go there. But it's so hard. Like, you know, if you think about a single mom, you know, with kids and, you know, working jobs and then spending time like caring about the environment. But also the most important is she's got to get food on the table for her kids, spend time with their kids, ends up doing homework, you know, all of that and still be ready to go to work the next day. Where is that time? So I really appreciate your book. And I want to let people know your websites. LoveEarthNow.us is the book website, and it's out everywhere, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all those great places. And definitely ask your local bookstore to get it. But I want to go to Margot real quick. Margot, this is part of it, right? We talk about this on the show that we can't really go into that hysteria land that emotionally we feel, you know, but we do have to connect with nature, and yet still we have to have this sense of urgency, don't you think?
I do. You know, I like what you have, Cheryl, in your book, where you have exercises where you might get in that angry echo rage, you call it. And, you know, so when you catch that, you know, no good answers come out of rage, no good answers come out of anger. But when you catch that, if you can go quiet with it and really, her process was perfect, you know, for settling into the question of what can I do and asking for guidance. And then the big one is after you get the guidance, take action. And because if you can get all the guidance you want, but if you don't take action, you're going to have more of the same. And so her book is inspiring, and I'm glad she's on our show.
Me too. Cheryl, what led you to write this? Were you writing, like, because it is like a memoir too, which I think is so great because it's something we can relate to personally, you know? And I think people want to live by, we want to connect with each other through personal stories, right?
Exactly. Our stories are what connect us. And I share my stories to demonstrate, you know, just how much I care, but also that I don't have any perfect answers and it is a struggle. And so I want to, you know, I write more in solidarity with other people trying to figure it out more than to try to tell people, because there are, again, there are no perfect answers and there's no one size fits all solution. I believe we all come here with our own gifts and abilities and calls to action, and telling everybody just to change all their light bulbs really misses out on how much unique opportunities each of us have to give from our own wellspring of intelligence and caring and what we've got to work with in terms of time and money and location and all of those things.
Yeah. And did you write your book, like, as was this part of like a journal that you were doing? Because it feels like we're stepping into someone's world and we go, oh man, I feel that. I know.
Yeah, it started out just as first as, you know, therapy for myself, and slowly became blog posts as I cleaned it up a little bit for public consumption. And then the collection of stories became a book.
I love that. And so journaling, right, really helps. And
yes.
I want to say too, I know that this is our Nature Connection show, but it's also going to be, this podcast will also be on our Women Making History show, which celebrates women of the past, the present, and the future. And it's really, I think sometimes that when it comes, and I'm not saying men don't feel anything at all, but I'm just saying, I think for women, because we are the mothers, right, and the nurturers, that I think it become, we get a little bit, and it's National and Stress Awareness Month, by the way, everyone. So this is really good tying in all of it, that we feel a little bit more burdened with what's happening with nature. And I'm not taking it away from men at all, but I'm just saying for women, emotionally, we are wired more that way. Don't you think?
Well, that's when it became real for me, is when after I had children and I started to think about the perspective of life on Earth from a different vantage than just my lifetime. And what is it going to mean for my children and maybe someday grandchildren, and for all of our children? What is it going to mean that we are leaving this world in a poorer condition than we found it?
I know, that's when you start to freak out, you know? But
yes.
We're seeing a lot of youth do really good things. We're seeing youth take action, and I think that is inspiring to see youth say, hey, we're going to step up. Because I think, in a way, can we move? Because I know, you know, Cheryl, that you're also a spiritual practitioner, as is Margo. Sometimes, can we, like Margo, you were talking about anger doesn't really have the answers. Can we leave the arguments aside and just move forward? Can we sometimes just say, that's not getting us anywhere, fighting over if it's global warming or climate change or if this is usual or not? Can we just actually go universally say, let's just protect the planet and do it a little quicker than normal?
Well, that's my goal. I, you know, division and pointing fingers doesn't really get the job done at all. It doesn't make us feel better about how we live and how we are leaving the planet. So that's my goal, is to find how we talk to each other, how we communicate with each other. I started taking stand-up classes and doing some stand-up comedy, because I think a lot of times we can say things in a comedic way that are received much better than if we sound like we're judging other people. So I'm exploring that, but I think it's so critical that we do find ways to talk to each other. And but first of all, it starts with our own selves. And you mentioned mental health. It's important for us to come from a place where we've got something to give, and it's important to take care of our do our self-care is like for me is step one, because otherwise if you're walking into a barroom brawl and you're angry too, you're not going to be the one that's going to help calm things down. So I try to get myself in a place of feeling like I do have something to give before I even consider what am I going to offer to the world today.
So that's a good point because, there's that whole example people always say is like, if you're on an airplane going down, which can happen these days, put your oxygen mask on you first before you try to help everybody because you can't help
Exactly. There's
where
another
the
say, you've got to fill your pitcher before you've got something to pour out. And that's what I like to consider. How full does my pitcher feel today?
Well, we better have water for the pitcher. I love that one you were talking about, the drought, and you have what you these invitations, and that's what Margot was mentioning about your book, which I love this part of it where, the Love Earth invitation that you get to this point and you're like, here you are at your sink, and you talk about the kitchen sink. We all do this. What is this kitchen sink is like a, especially if you have a window. Don't we all just sit and stare out from the kitchen sink? You're doing this mindless, dish washing is never the most exciting thing, but sometimes chores really feel good. It feels like you're taking steps forward. And if something's annoyed you, chores are fantastic. Women are always cleaning after a fight with their husbands. It's like, that's it. I'm going to clean you. I'm going to wash you right out of my hair. But the walk the kitchen sink thing, I love it because we do look out, we kind of gaze out and have this moment of like we're in a caring mode even when we're at a kitchen sink. We're doing something that's caring, right?
Well,
But you
and
talk about water. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm in Southern California, and I wrote that during the depths of our worst moment of drought. And it's kind of ironic now that we're getting so much rain from these atmospheric rivers, but that's just an illustration of it, why it's climate change and not just climate heating.
Right. Margo, what do you think about with the love invitations, Love Earth invitations? We've talked about this. I think the last time you were on the show, you were talking about sacred spaces in nature and that connection, that spiritual connection to open up. And I think these medit there's a lot of meditations in this book. I love that part of it because it kind of slows us down. And I think it's where the body, mind, and spirit connection. This is the true nature connection, right? Wouldn't you say, Margot, with that part?
I think it was brilliant of her to put these in because so often, we'll get reading and we'll get on a subject and we'll get going, and you go on to the next chapter and the next chapter. You don't really contemplate what's being said. And so she slows everybody down at the end of the chapter to think about what she's just said. And but not only take her word for it, but to go silently within and see if any answers come for you personally. And that's just a good practice for everybody contemplating how to get out of some situation if something's not right, or you're not getting along with your neighbor or your friend, or you need to stop for a moment and just really examine the whole situation and ask for guidance and get some answers from within. And doing it, like she said, in nature, I've often found great resources when I'm working in my garden. And I see a problem, and is okay. What do I do now? Now, how do I do this without putting poisons out? This tree is not well. What can I put on it? And I often go quiet, and an answer I wouldn't think of on my own. Just kind of an idea like, oh, I could do this. Yeah, this won't harm any beneficial creature. So Yeah, so that in her book is very helpful.
I so
I
also
appreciate
think
you.
it sets intention because you're also looking at what could be.
Yes.
The water one, the drought part was like, are you going to see succulents all plump and healthy? And I went right there, and I'm stuck in succulent land. Like it's just happened. But you start to envision that this we may not. This is the maybe the destruction, but what is the beauty of it? And it kind of sets this intention of calm and beauty. And so yeah, Cheryl, you've got a lot going on with these Love Earth invitations.
Well, that was it's so rewarding for me to hear all your comments about the invitation, because that's exactly what I why I wanted to include them. I tell my stories, as a way of as maybe a starting a conversation, and the invitation is, yes, a moment to pause and reflect on, okay, this is what this other person went through. What does it mean for me? More importantly, how does this affect me? What does it make me think of? And because ultimately it's up to us, each of us, what we do and how we are and what we bring to this world.
Exactly. I think also through meditation, we're tapping in to our heartbeat when we do that because we're slowing down. And in that way, we're connecting with nature. I know that sounds weird and woo-woo, right? But then we're kind of in the rhythm of what nature is doing and in life, right? So we're just kind of tapping in and slowing down. But it's not, you're not asking people to spend a full day doing an action, right? These kind of actions,
No.
it's
No.
intent, it's intentive. That's my thing. It's like it has purpose and integrity, and it's not like, oh, run out and change the light bulbs, but you're going to actually have intent and thought behind it and why.
Well, I tend to overthink everything. And so if I can make a major project out of something, I will do it. And then that
Oh,
means
I'm with you. I'm a Virgo. I'm annoying
and then
about
it will
it.
never happen. I will never get around to it because I've got 10 things to do before I even start it. And so my goal with the invitations was to make it something that you could read and think about and do in a minute or 5 minutes, or take more time if you've got it, but actually make it doable, feasible in this moment. You've just had time to read a chapter. If you have time to read a few more paragraphs and give it some thought, do it now rather than put it off till later, and maybe or maybe it doesn't happen.
Well, the invitation, can we talk about that word, why you chose that word?
Well, I wanted to make it inviting.
Yeah.
Something the whole idea of this book is that I'm not telling anybody what I think anybody else should do, because I don't have the answers and there aren't any perfect solutions. But also, I wanted to make it something that people want to do and not feel like, okay, great, I've got, yes, taking care of kids, taking care of car, taking care of business, and now I've got one more thing to do. I've got to take care of the planet. Fantastic. I want it to be something that's like, oh, I've been invited to a party instead of a guilt trip.
Oh, I love that because that's a guilt trip. Us women know how to do that, man. We're queens at it. We are, we're good at the guilt trip, and we can give guilt trips too. And that's the other thing is to not by changing ourselves and how we process it. Do you think we'll have better communication with others about the change and how we can fix things for the planet?
Well, for sure, we do better usually leading by example than speeches. So
Yeah,
I
finger
think
pointing.
that's a big part of it. But also, if we're communicating in a way that from a place that's very authentic, I think people pick up on that and relate to it much more openly than if it's again a speech or something that that's canned,
Now, what's interesting is your background. Wow, you've got a lot going on. You're into art too. You have an Etsy store. And so, everyone, you can go to Cheryl's author page, CherylLuchin.com. Am I even pronouncing your last name correctly? Because if I'm not, I
Sure.
apologize profusely.
With a name like nine, we take all pronunciations, but
Okay, it's
Lujan is.
L Luchin. Okay, it's LEUT. J-E-N for everyone. Lujen. So it's CherylLujen.com. You go on there and you can click through to her Etsy store. So you've got, you know, some artistic sides too. Does art help?
Art is great therapy. It is so much fun. And also I like to make things from nature, things that I find in nature. And that also reminds me of the gift and the value of what we've got, using it and making something creative as opposed to just something you that crush under your feet on the sidewalk getting to your car.
All right, so I want to go to Margot. She's a photographer, a nature photographer, and also is a painter too. So Margot, would you say that art is a way to connect with nature too, and also just to heal and feel better?
Oh my gosh. That's what I preach, I think. it is for me anyway. I am recovering from cancer, and going into nature, if I'm not feeling well, I find that by the time I've left the area, even if it's my patio, out, I feel so much better than I did before I entered into nature. And photography or painting nature gets one in nature. You can't take a picture of nature without getting into nature. So it kind of brings me there, and that's where I find the beautiful healing feelings. And yeah, I could have a terrible moment. My mother-in-law is living with me. She's 96 and senile. And I could be having a moment, and all I have to do is go out and sit in my chair in the patio, look at my garden, and just, I'm changed within minutes, literally minutes. So, yeah, that's what I preach. Being in nature can really be helpful.
And there are studies now that show there are measurable benefits from time in nature, that trees put off chemicals that our systems absorb and need. And it improves not only mood, but blood pressure and all kinds of health conditions. It's really good for you. And don't think that you have to, you know, make a drive out to the national forest. It's good just to be in the presence of, you know, street trees in your neighborhood. And they've also found that there are measurable benefits from even looking at pictures of nature for people who are bedridden, can't get out. Show them pictures of, you know, maybe your 96-year-old mother-in-law, maybe she's not able to get out. Show them pictures of beautiful places in nature. That has therapeutic benefits too.
Actually, there's a, and they're doing a lot now with the National Park Service too, to get our parks outside of our parks for people that can't go there, and also to protect our parks and the footprint that we're, you know, it's more like an elephant ran through with some of the parks, you know. But they're trying to do that as well, where they're doing this program, a soundscapes program, and we're doing some of that with our parks and public lands initiatives here at Big Blend, and our Love Your Parks tours, to get recordings of it. It's pretty interesting to me to see how the benefits can be just looking at pictures, like you're saying, and for people with, you know, disabilities to be able to have access. So Margot, mm-hmm. I know your pictures help people everywhere, you know, as they come across them.
Well, when I started doing that professionally, like putting my artwork out into the world, my husband and I we owned a wellness center, and I started putting the pictures up on the walls in the wellness center, and the patients would make comments at how healing it felt to sit and wait for their appointment and to look at that beautiful tree and they started asking to buy it. So that's what got me actually to open up my Etsy store.
Oh, wow. See? That's cool. I mean, the pictures to me, it's like, You can't be being in nature, but just looking and seeing them. I know we interviewed some scientists on this a few years back. It was pretty interesting. These studies are coming out. They're really trying to go, how much nature do we need? They're trying to say, like, if you take, a vitamin a day, this is what it does for your body, a multivitamin, for example. But what do we need? How much nature do we need to really benefit us? You know, they're really working hard on that. To get to all those benefits, we must protect it, and that's the thing is to be able to do it. And it's kind of like almost another career for all of us in a way. It should be part of our lifestyle. It should be part of our lives of what are we doing? It's like, we take care of our pets and our children and, do certain things in our communities. So I feel like nature should just be, it's like all encompassing. Wouldn't you say so, Cheryl? If it is just part of our lifestyle, it becomes right. easier to do. Yep. And that's what I think this one thing a day is so important.
That's why it's so great to get people out into nature, get kids out into nature, because you can't care about what you don't know about. And so the more time you spend in beautiful places or important ecosystems, the more you have a relationship and the more you care about preserving that relationship.
For sure. I love that you've written this. And so right now, as it's out for everyone now, right? So everyone can get it. Have you had any feedback on people like doing the Love Earth invitations and having some change, some positive, like they're feeling better? And like when you feel better, it's like when you have a little success, then you start building on successes.
Yes, I think that's curious. I don't have a lot of feedback. I think it's kind of it's intended to be a personal exercise. And so I know people have commented on that they appreciate that they're there, but what they come out of it with, that's up to the individual. Yes.
That's really nice that you do that side of it where you let it be free and open. It's interesting too. We talked a little bit about the art, but I know you're also a spiritual practitioner, a small business owner, an attorney, and also you have a background as a geologist. So I know that you also work in the world of oil. So that's going to be a little bit interesting for folks to listen to that. So you understand both sides of the coin.
I was in environmental compliance at Texaco. Yes. And I was a geologist before that. And so I've been working my way around this problem, this perspective of our earth for a long time and from a lot of different angles. And really it was the writing and the spiritual practice that got me to a place where I was even felt, I'm going to say, well enough to be proactive in helping and preserving nature.
It's cool. I mean, well, I think that's the thing. It's this, yeah, to do environmental law, that's a lot of work. And so you see a lot of things. Is that part of it also being from that side where you can read? I remember when the Dakota Access Pipeline thing started happening and we got into the oil side of it and we did an interview and it was before people were, it wasn't even on CNN yet. Let's put it that way. We did some live broadcasts with some of the folks out there, Cody Hall, who he was out there on the front lines, and even our president at the time wasn't, no one was acknowledging what was happening. And later all these indigenous, I think it was the most largest indigenous gathering that had happened in forever. I mean, you've got to think there were some positives, right? But
well,
when they attacked, go ahead.
I just saw the documentary, The Women of Standing Rock, and I really recommend it. It tells the stories of the women and the powerful force that women were in the whole movement and continue to be.
Exactly. I mean, and they chained themselves to tractors and bulldozers, and our federal government set dogs on pregnant women, just like they did back in the day. I don't even like to say the day. Was it a great day when we were doing those practices, you know? And it was just interesting because we were talking about the oil, and we started looking into the paperwork, Nancy and I, and we started seeing like all these shell corporations. It's all our banks basically are behind the oil. And we started calling oil attorneys, which was the last thing you should do. We didn't know anything of, I wish we knew you, Cheryl. But when you start seeing this, and I have a friend who went to environmental school, and it actually, he went into depression, literally, because there's been so many deals done politically that it's like a web that you can't undo. You know what I mean? That's even like when we were talking at the beginning of this conversation, I was like, can't we just move forward? Because if we try to unravel the past, it's actually, we don't have time for that. And he was just like, it's so thick that you can't fix what's been done unless you fix what's happening now. But he went into like depression over what has gone on in the environmental through policy and politics. So as an attorney and seeing those kind of policies and how people use and abuse them, and some are really great and some great bills happen, did that affect you? Did that affect you in life?
Oh, I've been there so much where if I think about it too much, and I really have to limit how much I read and study about it even now, because it's just so upsetting that I have to do some more therapy before I can get back to it. And by therapy, I mean, being in nature, journaling, doing the art practice, doing the meditation, the prayer, whatever it works as self-care for you. Is it really a vital component? I remember years and years ago, I went to a speech by an activist that I admired, and at the end, I asked her. I said, "How do you stay positive? How do you ever feel happy knowing what you know about this issue?" And she gave me a long spiraling answer that basically said she didn't, and that scared me. And I walked away from taking a more active role for a long time, until I had some tools in place to be able to talk about what's happening in difficult situations without making myself so depressed I can't do anything about them.
Well, yeah, I think the, and also in our communities, whether it's our family, our immediate community, or our neighborhood, or business, you know, there's so many kinds of communities, right? And then there's, you know, there's people who will directly confront, and you know, even when we talk about this, therapeutic side would, you know, poo-poo it and call us all names, basically. You know what I mean? So there's this whole other side that viciously attacks. And I think that's what's hard, even at a dinner table, you'll get it. And so it's really, really important to almost, I want to go, Margo, we got to put ourselves in the bubble, right? For the attacks, and he'll be able to deal with that.
We
We don't
can't
need
take
to
it
argue.
personally because, there are a lot of stories out there. There are a lot of misconceptions. Some people can see clearly, some people can't. And we just have to do our best. The next generation, you were saying, is working on it. And I just, you say you're a geologist, Cheryl. My daughter's a geologist and she's working on water issues. And my daughter-in-law also is working on water issues and science. So I see us moving forward. We always have to, even though we see what we see that has gone wrong, we have to know that there must be a possibility of shifting it, changing it, turning it around, and that we have the people here on Earth who know how to do that and can do that. So, inspiring people to be in nature, inspiring people to make changes themselves on how they treat nature. Your book, Cheryl, is right on track, and we just have to keep focused on what we want to do ahead, not what's behind us, but what's next. What can we do forward?
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I think when you look at also what you can do, what you're good at, what is in your wheelhouse, what tools do you already have? Because you can't do all of it. I've had to learn that lesson the hard way. And I had a friend sit me down and say, do you realize that what you're doing is already, you're already doing it. Just keep doing it and keep getting better at it. That's it. You don't need to, you can't be on in every rally. You don't need to do all that. This is what you do. You've got a media outlet. What more? You know, so we have to kind of look at that. And yes, we can grow and do new things. Absolutely. But Cheryl, wouldn't you also say it's do what you can do for
absolutely
you?
That's absolutely my message, is do what you feel called to do and what you have time to do and money to do and all of those things. And sometimes it may be what you don't do. That may be the biggest contribution some of us can make, is to not buy something we don't need, not, you know, stack up things that we don't use. And there's lots of opportunities to make a difference in what we don't do. If we don't drive somewhere we don't need to drive, for example, or don't buy fast fashion, or we don't buy fast food. Those are the kinds of things that you can do that take no time at all and no money.
Yeah, it is those choices, you know, and I think it is actually really about slowing down. I mean, I think your book is about consciousness, really. And
really?
It's not just environmental consciousness, it's personal consciousness. And you can't have environmental consciousness without personal consciousness.
Yeah, it takes some self-awareness just to be even willing to examine, how do I live my life, and how do I make my decisions, and how do I express myself?
Yeah. And without pissing off the neighbors, but you're going to somewhere, somehow, even if you haven't done anything, you could, you know what I mean? It's going to happen. But yeah, I mean, there's no getting around it. There's definitely I just feel like sometimes always find the common ground.
For example, I had an older aunt for a long time that she had a very different worldview than me. And just for me, talking about the things the way I normally talk about them would not have reached her. So, but she liked to garden. I talked to her about her garden and, you know, concerns about water and topsoil loss and things like that are easier to talk about when you're communicating about a subject that's meaningful to the person you're conversing with.
Well, that's the thing, because if you can do that, you're talking about native plants, which will help. And so you kind of have to, then if she's moving and changing in that direction, you've already made a change. And also you're, sometimes when it comes to the environment, we have to really look at, well, this will save you money. You know what I mean? Gets down to some basics instead of, sometimes it's just like, just don't even talk about it as, oh, you know, climate change, you know, it's just a normal conversation about normal things that people are starting to find expensive or difficult, or, you know, it's, yeah, just find a different way. That is that common ground, like you're saying. With a garden, it's like, oh, well, you know, I just planted this. You know, I planted some milkweed. You wouldn't believe the butterflies that came to my house. You know, Margo, you know about that.
Yeah, let's talk about the enjoyable, beautiful things that we can do to make a difference. Because I think a lot of it is people are worried, what am I going to have to give up? How am I going to have to suffer because the planet's in bad shape? I want my stuff just like everybody else has got stuff. But what if we can pivot to talk about, yes, what can we do that's more beautiful? more appealing than as opposed to what you're doing is bad.
Yeah, that doesn't work with anybody. Finger wagging doesn't work.
No, it doesn't.
And this is a politician, but but even then, it doesn't matter, you know. But I won't go there. I'm trying so hard to behave, but it's true. I think this common ground, and even with politics, I feel that we've lost our common ground with this great divide we have in our country, and it's not just our country at all going through this, obviously. So whatever common ground we can find, whether it's a recipe or, hey, we're gonna pick each other's kids up at school, you know, in a whatever we can do to find common ground, things build from there, you know. Wouldn't you say, Margo? Common ground.
It's funny. I woke up this morning thinking about some of the images I used to shoot in photography, and they were bridges, and it felt really important, like an important message. And it's about building bridges with one another and common ground, like you said. And maybe I can remind people again and post my photography with the bridges.
Ooh, well, okay, here's a positive story about people coming together. And so you know they're all coming from different backgrounds. It's in Lake Lure is the Lake Lure Flowering Bridge. And I think I might have told you about this, Margo, and I know I've talked about it on the show. So if I'm telling you again, I'm really sorry, but it's so beautiful. Lake Lure is outside Chimney Rock, and Chimney Rock is a state park right outside Asheville, North Carolina. And there was this historic bridge. And so the bridge wasn't working for the cars anymore, and they were going to tear down the bridge. And a group of gardeners said, no. Now, you know, gardeners, you see, this is what it is. Cheryl, I think you're really right about this. I think gardening appeals to everyone in some form, right? Some people are like, no, I don't have a green thumb, but it doesn't matter. You can still do it. But all walks of life, all political, everything. Gardening is one of the top hobbies in the world. And anyway, all these gardeners got together and said no. And you've got to think about the historians too, right? So historians, gardeners get together and say, we don't want to lose this historic bridge. Build a new one and leave the bridge where it is, and we're going to create a garden. And they did. They created a flowering bridge, and then the land on the side of the bridge, they developed children's gardens. There's pollinator gardens. It's a monarch way station. Underneath the bridge, they created it as a dog area, a dog garden, a little doggy park area, with dog sculptures and of course dog friendly plants. And it was a way of having shade if you're walking your dog. And we saw so many monarch butterflies on this bridge. And you look down and you've got the lake under you. It is one of the most special places that we have been to on this tour of traveling the country full time. And I'm telling you, when I say it's one of the, I mean, we've seen a ton. That's all I can tell you is we've seen this country a lot.
I
And
love the
this
idea of a bridge garden. That just
is,
the metaphor of that is
it's
so.
perfect. What Margo was talking about, this bridge, just, I wanted to stay there all day. I mean, they had demonstration gardens of what people could do in that area. And I don't know, man, it was like this garden of peace, and everybody, and yet you have cars going by on the new bridge, but you don't even realize it because you're so in this little haven of nature. I'm gonna have to send you a photo, Cheryl. It's
I
cool.
would love that.
And everyone in the show notes, I'll link to the article that about it. But it's also Rosalind Carter created a butterfly trail, which I didn't know. And this is on the butterfly trail too. And it deserves to be on any butterfly trail because there were so many butterflies. So Margot, there's your bridge. You got to have a flower bridge.
Okay, or I'll go photograph that one.
I
I put
know.
it on my bucket list.
It is really a cool thing. So I love this. But those are solutions, right, Cheryl, in your book, like you don't have to be the only person doing the bridge. You got to get your community together and you share. When you want to do a big project, right? Share. Yeah. Share.
There's a great quiz on the Story of Stuff website that's called What Kind of Activist Are You? And it could be you are the one who's organizing people. It could be you're the gardener. It could be you're the one who hits up the businesses to donate stuff. It could be that you're the mom that's going to watch all the kids so everybody else can go off and do this work. There's all kinds of ways to be take an active role in creating whatever kind of change we want to see in the world. And I like that quiz because it highlights that we all have different roles. It's not everyone has to chain themselves to a bulldozer or live in a tree for a year.
Yeah. Hey, I like it. Was it Julia Butterfly?
Yeah.
Julia?
I
Yeah.
love that she did that, but that's not going to be me.
Well, but I think this is the stages of activism, right? There's people who will do that, and there's like, Nancy and I travel the country full time. No one always wants to do that. There's a lot of people doing it, but there's not everyone wanting to do it, So that's what I'm saying. Choose what it is for you, because then it will happen. If you're doing something so outlandish for yourself, sometimes we have to. So I'm saying choose the outlandish thing because it's cool, because it's a growth thing and it's fun to do something completely new. But if it's going to mean you're not going to do it, then don't do it. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah. Do what's in your wheelhouse. But I do think we have to step outside of comfort zone. But if we take little steps, we'll get up that mountain for sure. But I want to, let's just do bridges with flowers everywhere. What
I'm
if we
for
just did that? I think that should be like a whole campaign, because it also gets rid of dead zones for butterflies and birds. And you know what I mean? The more concrete we have, I mean, we did pave paradise. Joni Mitchell's right. And if we did, just even if you planted a few native plants, even on your patio, you're doing something. Seriously.
Yes, on your balcony and your apartment building.
And they're getting apartment complexes now are starting to have composting. Isn't that the coolest thing? It's like things are changing, and there's nonprofits working on it. So don't be overwhelmed. Just take the step of action. Cheryl, thank you so much. This is cool. I want to, before you both go, because you're both in California, Southern California. Isn't it kind of cool to have all these wildflowers blooming everywhere again?
Oh,
Oh,
they're
it's kind
beautiful.
of.
Yes.
See, I did that just to have you both talk at the same time, because I knew it's exciting. So, all right, let's do this for some fun. Let's have a picnic out in nature, right? Because it's one thing. The first start is let's get out into nature and enjoy her. So if you guys were going to go on a picnic, I want to hear where you're going and what's in your picnic basket, just to react, like not to react, to just be, to connect. Reaction is the worst word. That is like the worst part, but to connect so that you can take action. Where would you go to just replenish your soul, have a nice picnic and chill out? And the picnic is important. That's what we do. We picnic because you slow down. You don't whirl past everything in nature. You sit down, you become one, you start to see the birds will relax with you. The butterflies were like, fine, they're here, they're fine. We're not worried about them. They're just chilling out, doing their own thing. And that's what's great about a picnic. If you just do it quietly and calmly, they accept you. So let's go to you, Margot, first. Where do you want to go for a picnic?
Okay, well, I'll be practical here. There's a lovely park about a mile from here down the street, and it has also a little dog park. So I'll take my dog with me. We'll walk down there, and I will gather. I've already planted some lettuce in my garden, and it's already
Oh,
ready to start harvesting. So
wow.
I'm very excited. So I'll pick some of the lettuce, and tomatoes haven't grown yet, so I'll do the store-bought tomatoes, and I'll make my salad, and I'll bring it down with me, and my dog will go and play in the dog park. I'll sit and watch and eat my salad under the
Cool.
tree. Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. But that's these community parks are really valuable. You know, we started our tour doing national park units and the, you know, National Park Service only. And now we are doing every pocket park is important, just for green space, for human health as well. And again, to not have dead zones. You know, the more, you know, greenery we have, the better, and the right greenery, the better for our flying pollinators, our walking pollinators, our wildlife species. And speaking of bridges, that's the other thing, Margot, those bridges they're making for wildlife corridors, like in Santa Monica. And, you know, that's the other thing about these bridges.
I
Pecos
know
Falls, but, oh,
LA has a new project.
see, this is cool stuff. We have things to be excited about. So that's the other part. Cheryl, don't you agree? We need to look at the positive things happening too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. There are a lot of positive things. That wildlife overpass over the 101 freeway, I think that's what Margo is
Yeah.
referencing, is well on its way to providing a pathway both for animals to cross, but also for plants and nature to re-inhabit.
Oh, that's awesome. We need these things. Oh, I think bridges are a key. I'm gonna. Okay, Margo, I've got another project. Okay, thank you.
Okay, you're
You always send
welcome.
me down rabbit holes. Every time she comes on the show, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna have to do this now. It's okay. I'm all good. I'm good with that. Cheryl, where are you going on a picnic?
I'm also going someplace local. I'm going to Griffith Park,
Ooh,
which
sweet.
it's such a treasure to me. It's vast wilderness in the heart of a city as densely packed as Los Angeles. And particularly, I'm going to Amir's Garden. It is a garden that was planted by a volunteer and still is maintained all by volunteers. But this individual decided one day that he wanted to do something to there. I think there had been a fire, and he decided he was going to take it upon himself to start planting. And it's up quite a steep incline where this garden is located. And he brought up the plants and brought up the water and nurtured this garden. And so it's such an emblem for me of what one person can do. And now there's a whole community, of course, that's involved in caring for the garden. And so how things grow from one person to many. And I can sit from this vantage, I can sit and look down on Interstate 5 freeway and all of the cars. And also I can turn the other direction and see not a person in sight, just hills, and depending on the season, maybe green,
Oh.
maybe brown, but it's just nature. And so I love the juxtaposition of it, and again the emblem of it too.
Man, that sounds beautiful. Nancy
You
grew
know,
up going to Griffith Park. She always talks about it. And
I
when she
did
went to all
too.
the music gatherings and all the, she's like, that was our hippie gatherings.
I have wonderful memories of Griffith Park and growing up. Going
No
horseback
way.
riding. Yeah, going horseback riding in the hills there with my brother. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Griffith Park. Now she's going to be really bummed she wasn't on the show with you girls because she always talks about it. And she was like, it was a free, like just a free feeling out there. And then, you know, the nature and everything, though she does not have good things to say about their zoo. So I'm just going to put that there. Just say it wasn't good, but, I don't know about it now. I have no idea. But Griffith Park is definitely a treasure from everyone. I've never really been there. And she's always told me I have to go. So now we're going to have to do it. Thanks, Cheryl, for that. And that's the other thing. Our local parks are a big deal. These, you know, these oases really help everybody. So very cool. Cheryl, thank you so much for being part of our Nature Connection show. Everyone can go to the website loveearthnow.us. Again, it's by the book is Love Earth Now, The Power of Doing One Thing Every Day by Cheryl Lutyen,
Thank you so much.
Lutjen. Thank
Thank you
you.
so much for having me. It's been a fun conversation.
Absolutely. Thank you for joining us. Don't forget, everyone, it's National Stress Awareness Month. It's a good podcast to have this today because we can de-stress a little bit. So thank you all. Thank you, Margo. Always fun to have you on the show.
Thank you. Enjoy
And
that.
Margot, give everyone your new website address on Etsy. It's Margot Carrera at Etsy, margot.carrera@etsy.com, right?
Correct.
I got it. I got it. Thank you so much, ladies.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Big Blend Radio's Nature Connection show. Follow us at bigblendradio.com and keep up with Margot at margotcarrera.etsy.com.